In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've heard this one, haven't you? There was even a song. Oh, golly, it had to be in the 70s. It was because my frame of reference here is high school, if I'm not mistaken. High school. It might have been a little later than high school. Remember the old contemporary Christian band called the Imperials? They had this, "You're the Only Jesus Some Will Ever See." It was a kind of a sad, one of their guilt-inducing songs. They were really good at inducing all kinds of angst and guilt in Christians. And one of the ways they did it was by singing that song, "You're the Only Jesus That Some Will Ever See." And it's not just stuck in the 70s. It's found its way up here into the 21st century. It's become an evangelical cliche. What does it mean? And how do we distinguish that evangelical cliche from, well, it's a very popular saying from the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, where he talks about how we are little Christs to our neighbor. Is it the same thing? Is it just kind of a more popularized view of Luther's view from the 16th century? We're going to be responding to this evangelical cliche, "You're the only Jesus some people might see." Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, how do we distinguish this, or can we, from Luther's, and I think it's not an apocryphal saying, where he talks about the Christian being a little Christ to his neighbor? How is that any different from "You're the only Jesus some will ever see"?
Well, I think it's the big difference is when Luther says that, and things like that, when he talks about, for example, God hiding himself behind the Christian to serve the neighbor, he's talking about our Christian life of love. He's talking about the doctrine of vocation. And he's specifically talking about the humility of Christ, how Jesus descends, humbles himself to serve us. And so the Christian life is also a life of humble service. When Jesus sets us to love and care for our neighbor in humility, not to exalt ourselves, but in fact humble ourselves to serve our neighbor. When evangelical church and the American Christianity uses that sort of phrase, it's not talking about our life of love, but rather it's talking about, really, it's about evangelism. It's talking about salvation. It's saying that it's our role as we love our neighbor to make sure they come to Christ, to make sure they know the name of Jesus, and therefore to make sure that they're saved. So that when Luther speaks of us being Christ to our neighbor, he's talking about acts of love and service. But when the American church talks about that, it's talking about saving them, rescuing them, delivering them, and giving them the gift of life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, so it's the difference between vocation and salvation. In other words, we are certainly little Christs to our neighbors in terms of our vocation. That is where we are called to love and serve the neighbor, but we are not little Christ to our neighbors in any salvific sense.
That's exactly right, and that's where Jesus, you know, one of the solus Christus of the Reformation days is very, very helpful. When there's some things that Jesus alone will do. I mean, he will share some of his work, and he will keep other parts of his work to himself. So he shares his work of love. He shares his work of mercy. You know, "Be merciful as my heavenly Father is merciful." He shares his work of charity and kindness and even humility. He shares that with the Christian. But there are works that Jesus keeps to himself, and chief among those is being the Savior. He alone will die on the cross. He alone will suffer the wrath of God. He alone will forgive sins, will win the forgiveness of sins for sinners. And that's very important. We can't take for ourselves that vocation that Jesus does not share. And that's, I'm afraid, exactly what this little phrase, you're the little only Christ that people will ever know, it's precisely what that does.
Okay, you say it also does something even really more disturbing, and that is, in addition to just confusing vocation with salvation, it confuses the office of Jesus. It reduces Jesus to example rather than as Savior. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, there's just some... It kind of comes in phases in American Christianity, and kind of wanes and falls and this sort of thing. But you have a very strong emphasis on Christ as our example. I'm having trouble with dates too. But a while back, there was a hugely popular thing where everyone was asking, you know, what would Jesus do? And you know, I suppose it's a fine question, but it's a very, very limiting question. There's a lot of things that Jesus never did that we are free to do and, in fact, can do. Like, for example, Jesus was never married. But that doesn't mean that all the young, single Christian men should never look to marry, to get married and have children. On the other hand, there are things that Jesus, because he alone has the office of Savior, did that we are never called to do. We're never called to suffer God's wrath on the cross, for example. We're never called to die for the sins of the world. We're never called to demonstrate our authority by performing miracles. And so Jesus is not our example in these his offices. But the American Christianity is often tempted to this kind of overemphasis of Christ as example. And what that does is it reduces our theology, our teaching, our doctrine, really down to... It really reduces it from a theology to an ethic, and saying the most important thing is not what I believe, but how I live. The most important thing is not the words of Christ that I trust, but the actions of Jesus that I copy and demonstrate. And that is just plainly the shift from faith to love, or to say it even more clearly, it's a shift from gospel to law.
So does it also, in addition to that, confuse, and this is a fine line, a subtlety, does it confuse the Christian's life of vocation with the task of evangelism?
Yeah, it does. Now, because we talked a little bit about this last week, and I think that's when this cliche came up, when we were wrestling with last week the idea that preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. We talked about how the gospel is words. It must be words. I mean, the gospel itself means a promise, the promise of good news. And if you don't have words, you don't have the gospel. You are not doing the work of evangelism. So it's never by the example of the Christian or the love of the Christian that the Holy Spirit works. It is only through the word preached. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, said St. Paul, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Again, that's Romans 1, later Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ, depending on the translation you're using. And this is important. It's by the word. Now, this doesn't mean that our Christian life of love is not important. But it does mean that our life is not the gospel.
So it goes along with kind of little things that we hear often, living the gospel. You know, not just hearing and believing the gospel, we got to go live it, those kinds of things. It goes hand in hand with those kind of small, the hardly cliches, because they just don't measure up.
Yeah. No, but that's it. I mean, the big picture in this is what we call pietism, and that is that we emphasize good works over doctrine. Growth in good works is more important than purity of doctrine, and that's in a big picture. And this manifests itself in different directions. So you have conservative people, and conservative Christians, and that manifests itself in one way. You kind of have the liberalizing move that's happening in American Christianity now, and the good works are different. You know, they're more economic kind of, I don't know, socialist good works. It's going to break in different directions, but the impetus, the theological impetus behind this is the same, and that is that the most important thing about the Christian life is the Christian living, rather than the living Word of God. It's my actions rather than Christ's promises. And that emphasis results in this confusion of the gospel that starts to see the gospel, like you said, as being manifest in my own works. And really, when it comes down to it, it's just the simple confusion of law and gospel. It's replacing the fruit of repentance with the heart of repentance, which is faith.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. When we come back, we'll continue responding to this evangelical cliche, "You are the only Jesus people might see." We'll be talking about that a little bit more. Also, a profound confusion here of what the Holy Spirit is doing, how he creates faith. Stay tuned.
Because you're the only Jesus some will ever see.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
A daily dose of Luther is good for the soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, "You're the only Jesus people might ever see." He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and editor of Around the Word Devotions. All right, Brian, let's talk about, let's kind of get to the heart of this, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. How does a cliche like this, you're the only Jesus people might see, how does it impact what one believes about the work of the Holy Spirit?
Well, even if we believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who converts us, which is right, I mean, that's simply what the Bible teaches, this kind of cliche, it puts the onus of conversion not necessarily on the unbeliever, but on the Christian to get out there and convert the world, so that there is this incredible pressure on the Christian to do the work of evangelism, to always be talking about Jesus, to always be bringing every conversation to the point of making a decision for Christ or some sort of spiritual sort of reality. There is, you know, one of the, just the other day I was looking at the four spiritual laws, which are so, almost foundational for American Christianity, and after you accept Jesus, then you're confident that you've become a Christian, according to the four spiritual laws, and then the result is you have certain things that follow, and it's four marks of your life. Number one, you read the Bible. Number two, you pray. Number three, you go to church. And number four, you tell other people about Christ. And this is really, this telling other people about Jesus is the good work for most evangelical American Christianity. And it is an incredible burden that most Christians feel very, very guilty that they haven't saved anybody, that they haven't rescued anyone from hell, that they haven't led anyone to Christ, and they want to be doing that, and that's the pressure that's constantly put on them. And it is a very, very heavy burden, because the work of conversion is understood to belong to the Christian.
I don't think this qualifies as a cliche. If it does, then put it in the hopper for a future conversation. It goes with this kind of scenario that is sometimes even presented in evangelical churches. And I know that there's a song written about this one, too. I can't remember what the name of it is. But it's presented in evangelical churches as kind of the likely outcome in heaven. And that when you get to heaven, you're going to be meeting all these people that you converted. Right. And they're going to be walking up to you and saying, gee, thanks for converting me. I wouldn't have been here without you, kind of a thing. And of course, that's always spun into, rather than, keep up the good work, folks, kind of a thing. It's always spun into, you know, some of you guys are going to get there, and the line to say, the thank you line, your kissing booth in heaven for you, could be really short.
Yeah, that's right. There's always the apocryphal story about the person who converted Billy Graham, you know, and they'll say, look, Billy Graham did all this work and converted all these millions of people, but there was just one person who converted him. And so it's almost like a conversion pyramid scheme. So that person gets credit for all the people who were converted after the people that he helped convert, you know. And
but the guy who converted him, my goodness, he's got him topped. One more person in line at heaven.
Yeah, that's right. It's really, there are Bible where Paul will talk about, for example, you know, he becomes all things to all people so that he might save some, you know. So there's that language that's used in the Scripture, but Paul's very, very careful to always point to the fact that the one who gives the growth, the one who turns the heart, the one who creates faith is the Holy Spirit. And now, no mistake, the Holy Spirit works through the Word, which he puts in the mouth of people, of sinners. But it is the Holy Spirit who is saving the lost, and it is Jesus who desires this. You often get the sense with evangelicals that they love the lost more than Jesus does. I mean, it's an incredible sort of thing that everything is pushed towards this conversion. Now, I think the helpful questions and corrective that we can bring to this with the doctrine of vocation is to say, yes, there is an obligation to speak of Christ according to vocation. So, for example, I'm a father, and I am obligated by my office of father to speak of Christ to my children. I don't have the freedom to do that or not do it. It's part of my work as a father to tell them the gospel, to teach them the Scriptures. I'm a husband, and it's part of my vocation that I speak of the Lord's kindness to Carrie, and that I bring the Lord's word to her. that I bring my family to church. Now, that is in my office of father to my children, and also as a pastor, I am obligated to speak the gospel, to teach the Lord's people here at Hope of His kindness and mercy, to open the Bible and to give it to the people, so that I do speak of Christ according to vocation. So all the fathers out there know that they are obliged to speak of Christ to their children, and the same for the mothers, and so forth. But when it comes to my daily interaction, I do not have the obligation to speak to Christ to the guy who's selling me the dum-dums at the grocery store, or the fellow who's helping me getting an oil change on the car. Now, I am free to speak of Christ. If the opportunity comes up and if it makes sense in the conversation, I am certainly free to do it, but I'm not obligated to do that, and I should not feel guilty when that doesn't happen. Now, the one exception to that is when we are asked. So Peter says, always be ready to give an answer to anyone for the reason that the hope that's within you, to anyone who asks. So if the Christian is asked about the hope that is in them, then we gladly confess Christ. We gladly say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and so forth. We gladly speak of the Holy Spirit and His work in the church, and so forth. So when we are asked, we are obliged. But other than that, we have this freedom to look for opportunities, but we don't need to be burdened when every single conversation that we have does not end with an amen and some sort of call to become a Christian.
You talk about emergency thinking and the danger of it. What do you mean by that as we head into this next break?
There's a great the easiest way to manipulate people is to put them in an emergency, because emergency, just by its very nature, is destructive to order and vocation. But this is happening all over in American Christianity. There is the emergency of evangelism. If we don't get out there and do it, people are going to die and go to hell. I remember hearing a guy, he was preaching, and he says, every time I snap my fingers, somebody dies and goes to hell. And someone said, well, quit snapping your fingers. I mean, but this is great, this idea that you got to get worked up into this kind of evangelistic froth. And that emergency thinking is pervasive in the evangelical mind, and it's destructive to the evangelical family, to the evangelical conscience, to the evangelical work of love for the neighbor and vocation and all of that.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, 10 more minutes with him. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, you're the only Jesus people might see. You know, in the end, that'll tear you down, won't it? I mean, think about the burden of, it's hard enough just being you, right? You get up every morning, you have your obligation, your vocations, all of those things that are pressed upon you. What if you've got the burden of being Jesus, too? I mean, eventually, that's going to wear you out. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota, Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota, Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri, Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri, Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Concordia Publishing House is having its famous warehouse sale, both online and in the store, November the 4th through the 10th. Now, this warehouse sale means that you could take advantage of major discounted prices on many of the items you hear us promote here on Issues Etc. Find out more about the warehouse sale online and in store November the 4th through the 10th at cph.org, cph.org, or you can visit them, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. You can join us for a live broadcast from the warehouse sale on Thursday, November the 5th. It's the Concordia Publishing House Fall Warehouse Sale online and in-store, cph.org and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, responding to the cliche, "You're the only Jesus people might see." The bottom line here for me, Brian, is that if I buy into this, it's hard enough. But if the guy that I deal with every day buys into it, then things get really messy. If he thinks I'm Jesus for him, okay, in that kind of salvific way, he is not going to go looking for Jesus where he really is found for sinners. Where is that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's in his word of promise. And then it's all these places where Jesus has instituted that his word would go forth in very, very concrete ways. For example, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, where he puts his body and blood in his promise and says, here I am. That Jesus will take care of his people, and there is a great danger in stepping between Christ and trying to become the means of grace ourselves. I mean, that's really it, you know, that we've talked about this and noted it any number of times, that the big problem with American Christianity and evangelicalism is that it has no sacraments. It's denied the efficacy of the word and the efficacy of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so always there are other things sneaking in there to become the sacraments. So you have the sacrament of the praise song, you have the sacrament of the mystical experience, you have the sacrament of the sinner's prayer. You have the sacrament of whatever sort of emotional sort of experience. You even have the sacrament of my good works, by which I assure myself before God of my faith. And now you have the sacrament of the Christian, that the Christian stands in the place of Jesus, and does the saving work that Jesus would do. And it's an incredibly difficult thing. I mean, you mentioned it on the way out, that it's incredibly difficult just to be a forgiven sinner and to live in the vocations that Jesus has given to us, father or mother in our families, to be children or to be parents, to be citizens, to be students, to be teachers, to have workers and bosses and all this sort of stuff. But now I'm going to have the vocation of being the sacrament, or I'm going to have the vocation of being the Savior. It's an impossible sort of thing, and this is really why the American Christian is on this desperate pendulum between pride and despair. I mean, if you think, "Hey, I'm the sacrament," you got to be pretty proud of yourself. Hey, I'm the Jesus that people will see today. That's a pretty proud sort of thing. And then you go out in your life and you realize that you are an absolutely miserable Jesus, that you're constantly sinning and hurting your neighbor and wounding them and all this sort of stuff, and you swing right back over to despair. It's really a desperate and drastic pendulum that all of this false doctrine, this sacramentless doctrine, would impose on the people who are under this teaching.
With only a minute here or so, you just mentioned this. There's a variation on this in our own circles being promulgated by Bill Woolsey and the 5-2 movement, where he will flat out tell people, you are a small s sacrament to everyone you meet. Is that what you were talking about, Brian?
Yeah, it's an utter confusion of the means of grace. I wasn't thinking about that, but that's a precise example of what we're saying here. And it is purely and utterly wrong. Jesus has never, ever commanded that of us. He does tell us to love. He does tell us to forgive sins, but we are always, always sinners, always in desperate need of Jesus ourselves. And when we speak to our neighbor, we do not speak as Christ, but we speak as a Christian, those who are saved by, died for by Jesus, forgiven by Jesus, and that we share in that mercy with all the sinners around us. It's not a, I'm now above you giving this to you, but I'm even below you sharing in the mercy that Jesus has so lavishly given to me.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of Around the Word Devotions. You'll find a link to these resources under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, we're looking forward to our next conversation. I think we're going to be talking about the God-shaped or God-sized hole in your heart next time when we speak.
That's right. We'll do it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Robert Gagnon answer the question, how should Christians respond to the transgender phenomena? Do you notice this all over the place now? It can't simply be more media exposure. It can't be that. It has to be something else. The popularity of transgenderism, it's everywhere, and it's encroaching upon the church. Of course, that raises the question that the church really must answer. How does the church deal with the transgender phenomenon, those who are swept up by it, both those who are transgendered or consider themselves transgendered and those who think that the church simply needs to, as it's done with most other deviations, affirm it? We'll talk about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Dr. Robert Gagnon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
When the Apostle Paul stated, I have become all things to all men, was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.